four-man rush. Mahomes holding it. Looks to throw it long. He's going to throw it long. Gunning it for Tyreek Hill on the near side. Tracks the ball. Caught it. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Oh, that's a sweet sound. The Chiefs start their season coming up this Sunday. You can hear it on Z96.3 Lake, pregame at 2 o'clock on the Chiefs Radio Network. And then kickoff scheduled for after 3, the L.A. Chargers hosting the Kansas City Chiefs, a key division battle to kick off the season. Here to talk about it and preview the opener in the Chiefs season is Art Haynes of the Chiefs Radio Network. Art, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Wade. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, and I am so pumped up and psyched about the football season, not only for the Chiefs, but just getting college football underway and high school football. We're in week 2 here in the state of Kansas, so it's an exciting time. And it's exciting with Patrick Mahomes being the new quarterback of the Chiefs, and that play that we just heard from Mitch on the Chiefs Radio Network kind of sums up what Mahomes is capable of doing, isn't it?
It is. It'll be, I think, a high risk, high reward, and hopefully the reward will outweigh the risk. You know, people are just assuming that he's going to throw a lot of interceptions, and he probably will more than Alex Smith, who was very good about protecting the ball. But Travis Kelce was here in Springfield with Mitch at an appearance in the spring, and comparing the two, in all respect, he said, you know, Alex will throw me the ball if I'm open. Patrick will throw me open. He will be willing to throw the ball into tighter windows, and sometimes that's going to result in a mistake, but it could result in some spectacular things as, well, the 69-yard in-the-air pass week 2 of the preseason.
Any cuts the Chiefs made or roster moves they made that surprised you?
Not terribly, and it looked like Ben Neiman, the linebacker, just played his way onto the team at the expense of Elegue. So, you know, when you have a recent draft pick not make the team the next year, that's a little bit of a surprise. I think all the moves that they made in the last 2 weeks in the secondary is indicative of the fact that they know there's a problem there in terms of personnel, so they brought in several. Cutting Brian Witzman, bringing in another free agent offensive lineman, a little bit of a head-scratcher, but obviously they feel like that's an upgrade.
Well, let's start on the offensive side of the ball, and then we'll talk about the secondary that you referred to, because that's the area I'm most worried about, and I have been ever since the end of last season. The offense, certainly all the weapons we know with Kelce and Hunt, and you got Ware back now as your backup running back, and we know they have a ton of talent at receiver with Watkins and Hill. But probably the biggest question, it seems like, on the offensive side of the ball, Art, is the offensive line. How do you feel about that going into the season opener on Sunday?
Pretty good. I think it is an above-average offensive line. Now, it needs to be a good offensive line for the offense to maximize its potential. Just re-signed Cam Irving. The Chiefs have had a recent history of getting guys, particularly from Cleveland, in Irving's case, and Mitchell Schwartz, that maybe underachieved a little bit in their previous spot, another one being Reggie Ragland, and then are able to get the most out of them and maybe coach them up. Duvernay-Tardif, you know, had a couple of weeks on concussion protocol during preseason. Mitch Morse coming off a little bit of a step-back year, but he's had a good preseason. So I think that's got the makings of a pretty solid line.
Chiefs making news yesterday, signing swing tackle Cam Irving to a contract extension. Was that expected or was that a bit of a surprise?
I think that was expected. You know, he had clearly won the position, and they traded Parker Anger, and so I think that's just making them. I mean, it's 2 years. It's not a long-term deal, but a commitment and a reward for a guy that has settled in well with the team.
And he'll be a backup swing tackle for the Chiefs, but he can play a lot of positions, and that's what the Chiefs are really happy about, and acquired him, of course, in a trade last year. Okay, so the area that everybody's worried about, I think, for the most part, although some are maybe worried with Mahomes and turnovers, is the defense. And I don't know. To me, this seemed kind of predictable. When I look at what the Chiefs did in the offseason, Amerson was a guy that as soon as they signed him, I was like, I watched him play last year. He did not have a good year at all with the Raiders. And I saw a Monday night game where he just got torched left and right. I just couldn't quite figure out bringing him in. I thought there was something maybe possibly better on the open market for the Chiefs to grab, help in the secondary. They traded Peters away to the Rams. They do acquire Fuller, who's been honestly their best defensive back in the preseason in the trade for Alex Smith. But you look at what the Chiefs have had to do, and you could see the writing on the wall that based on how the preseason was going, they were going to make some moves after the roster cuts. They were going to have to improve the secondary, not happy what they had. And quite a bit of this secondary is a lot different than when we first opened up preseason. How long can it take, or will it take, for this secondary with the pieces they have now and the acquisitions they made to gel back there?
That's a great question. And, one way to help your pass defense is to get a pass rush.
Yes.
Not avoiding the question, because ultimately you're going to have some people cover, but need probably to see Justin Houston go after the quarterback more than drop back in coverage, as they had him do a lot last year. It's a big year for Dee Ford. Breland Speaks has shown some signs, just a rookie, but he may be able to be a part of the solution. But ultimately, back in the secondary, I mean, you hope Eric Berry, we haven't seen him on the field for 3 weeks, is going to be able to play and get back to where he was before. You've got Daniel Sorensen on IR, Steven Nelson back off concussion protocol. But, I mean, there are a lot of questions on that back end, and that's why they've made so many moves. Bringing back Ron Parker, who was a functional player, really. He was never a star, but he at least knows the system, knows the culture. But this is all indicative of the fact that they know they've got some issues in the secondary, and they're trying to upgrade here and get ready for Phillip Rivers on Sunday.
Well, let's start with safety. Eric Berry is the $64,000 question. He has not practiced for quite some time. Asked if he was going to practice today before Sunday, and Andy Reid said, "We'll see." And I know as a parent, when my kid asks me something and I'm kind of waffling and I'm kind of leaning towards, probably not, but I don't want to squash the kid's dreams of having his ice cream cone at 9 o'clock at night, I'll say, "We'll see," even though deep down it's probably a no. That doesn't seem very reassuring about Eric Berry.
No, it really doesn't. So you've got Eric Murray, who was a rookie a year ago. Armani Watts, of course, had two interceptions against Green Bay on Thursday night and played his way onto the team. But then you got Skandrick and Chavarius Ward, the guys they brought in from Dallas just within the last couple of weeks, and I understand their corners. But and Tremont Smith, the rookie from Central Arkansas, who's shown some good things in kick return, I think they may be in a little better shape at corner than they are at safety, particularly if Berry isn't there.
What is the report on Sorensen? When do they hope to have him back?
Well, I mean, that was a short-term IR, so I'm thinking probably about the 1st of October on him. It was reserve injured, I think, rather than injured reserve.
We're talking Art Haynes of the Chiefs Radio Network here today on the Sports Ticket. Eric Berry, coming off the ruptured Achilles last year, the Chiefs have kind of had a run of those ruptured Achilles. Derek Johnson, of course, had a couple of those, and they described it as a heel injury. Man, I tell you, when you have foot injuries at any level of sports, those are really hard to heal typically. Are you worried that Eric Berry may not be able to make it through the season? And what does that mean for this Chiefs defense? Because we saw the defense really struggle without Eric Berry. And in fairness, though, a couple years ago in the playoff game against Pittsburgh, he was on the field. They held him to field goals, but they did lose the game with Eric Berry. It seems like I hear some people, Chiefs fans, go, "Well, we get Eric Berry back, that'll solve the defensive problems." I'm like, man, there's a lot more wrong with this defense than just its safety.
Yeah, there is, but it'll go a long way toward resolving things. In that playoff game you referenced, certainly wasn't the defense's fault that they lost, holding Pittsburgh to those field goals. You give up 6 field goals and no touchdowns and lose the game. But yeah, I'm greatly concerned about Berry's ability to make it through the season. And I mean, Derek Johnson successfully came back from the first Achilles, and you could really say the second, and I think just age took its toll on him a little bit last year. But you look yesterday in baseball at the retirement of Ryan Howard, who was a great Missouri State alum here in Springfield, and he was never the same after blowing his Achilles on the last out of the 2011 Division Series against the Cardinals. I mean, if you don't have your feet under you, it's pretty hard to do things athletically. I know the Chiefs have got a great training staff, and Eric's been through a good regimen, and he's a very hard worker, but you are concerned, I am at least, about him going forward.
You talked about the lack of pass rush, and the Chiefs have to get that. That would certainly help out the secondary, and there are many out there that watch the Chiefs, and I see it on social media saying, why do the Chiefs sit back and rush three, drop eight? They don't blitz enough. They're not aggressive enough. Wasn't that what Bob Sutton wanted to be, is aggressive? But to me, it's kind of what the Chiefs said during the offseason. It wasn't Bob Sutton necessarily. It was personnel. So they've changed out the personnel. And I look at the Chiefs when they ideally you don't want to blitz too often, obviously. You get burned. But because that's a lack of a pass rush up front with the front three or front four, whatever the case may be. But when the Chiefs have blitzed the last couple of years, they don't even get there half the time when they do blitz. And then you put that secondary, which is certainly a weak point of the team, in a very tough spot, and many times in man-to-man coverage. I hear all the criticism of Bob Sutton, and trust me, I get it. I understand it. But there's times where I try to put myself in Bob Sutton's shoes, and I say, well, which is the lesser of two evils? Do I bring the house and get burned, or do I sit back and get picked apart? It's not an easy situation.
No, it's not. I mean, but I know they play 3-4, but I'd like to see them bring four.
Yes.
on more occasions than they do, at least. I don't think that's really an unsound, radical strategy. And I think particularly with the problems on the back end, that may be a better approach.
Back to the offense. Sammy Watkins hasn't done too much in the preseason. When he was signed, did you think that was a really good fit for the Chiefs? Because that move was criticized in regards to how much money the Chiefs gave him. He has been injury-prone in his time in Buffalo, but certainly you look on paper and go, wow, if he stays healthy, and that's a big if, you got the speedster Hill, and you got Watkins, you got Kelsey, you got Hunt. Is it just a matter of him trying to get a grasp on this offense and this terminology and the system before he really takes off?
I hope so. I mean, I thought it was a good signing when they got him. But he's not looked real good in the preseason, does not seem to have been on the same page as far as his route running with Patrick Mahomes or Chad Henne several times. You know, he burst onto the scene and had a near 1,000-yard season and then a 1,000-yard season his first 2 years in Buffalo, not as productive the 2 years since then. So, you know, as a complimentary receiver, he's the third option with Tyreek and Kelsey, but theoretically, and he's still young, he's just 25, he's got the talent to really be a difference maker in this offense, but I think the assimilation process is still ongoing.
How big is this game coming up on Sunday? Because usually you don't want to say it's a must-win, and I'm not going to call this a must-win. The Chargers could look at it more of a must-win because they're at home. But you look at the schedule, you open up at the Chargers in L.A. Many are picking the Chargers to win the division. I'm not sold on that. Then the Chiefs go to Pittsburgh. San Francisco comes to Kansas City. I see people just marking that as a W. San Francisco much improved late last year. At Denver, as you know, a tough place to win, no matter who the quarterback is. And then they host Jacksonville, who was in the AFC Championship game, and then at New England. That is a tough first six games, and four of those are on the road. How important is this first game for the Chiefs on Sunday?
Yeah, it's a really big game. I mean, they need to find a way to go 3-3 anyway in those first six games, and you went through them. You know, I'm not buying the 49ers being a Super Bowl contender yet. Mm-hmm. I know they finished very strong last year when Garoppolo took over quarterback. Let's see if he can do that over a full season. But they are a team on the rise, and Jacksonville may have the best roster in the AFC. Denver, I think, they need to win out there. You need to beat the division rivals. They've been very good at that. But you're right, that is a tough place to play. Now, the thing about this weekend, they're the underdog, slight, 3 points. I'm kind of surprised it's that close. Chiefs have beaten the Chargers 8 times in a row, but the Chargers are expected to win the game. And if the Chiefs could go out there and, as they say, steal one, I think that could really get things on a right footing. And, you know, as far as the matchup is concerned, we've talked about the Chiefs' vulnerability against the pass. That obviously is a Chargers' strength with Rivers, although it doesn't have his tight end, Hunter Henry, this year. On the other hand, they have been very vulnerable against the run, and that's a Chiefs' strength. So I think it's strength against weakness on both sides of the ball. This could be, 37-35.
It seems that when the Chiefs play the Chargers, they're usually close games, is that the Chargers make mistakes. They remind me of the Raiders back in the day, where when Marty would play the Raiders, when Marty was coach of the Chiefs, they just knew the Raiders were going to make a mistake. And Philip Rivers, as talented as he is as a quarterback and has some impressive numbers, he has had the propensity to turn the ball over in some critical junctures, especially against the Chiefs.
Yeah, he has thrown for a lot of touchdowns, and he's thrown for a lot of interceptions. And usually my theory, and I admire Philip Rivers as a leader and as a person. He seems to be a great person. But as a quarterback, usually he will give both teams a chance. He'll give his team a chance.
Yes.
He'll give you a chance, because he will take some chances and make some mistakes. Now, you need to end up on at least even if not the plus side of the turnover battle, and that's where the Chiefs have had the edge before. Alex Smith didn't turn the ball over. If Patrick Mahomes becomes a turnover machine and he's essentially a rookie, then that takes away that advantage that you had before. So you got to force some Rivers mistakes, but hope that he will give you some chances. He usually does, and then capitalize on those chances.
Art Haynes of the Chiefs Radio Network, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. Let's jump back to Mahomes, and let's get a couple of predictions from you, because every prediction you've given on this show has been absolutely 100% accurate. You know that.
right.
As are mine. Patrick Mahomes, what kind of numbers do you think he's going to put up this year? Give me a yardage number and a TD interception ratio.
Okay, I'm going to give you 3,800 yards. I'm going to give you 24 touchdowns and maybe 14 interceptions.
Okay, mine is just over 4,000 yards, 25 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. So we're very close on that. Now, the prediction I always ask you before we start the season, your thoughts on the Chiefs' record and if they make the playoffs, if they win the division. I guess I should ask you first, your thoughts on the division and then what it'll take to win the division if you think the Chiefs can get to that number.
Yeah, I think 9-7 might win the division. Oakland looks like a circus right now, and I know they're 2 years removed from winning 12 games, and Gruden could be sandbagging, and they could look sensational when the games start counting, but I think the trade of Khalil Mack is kind of a warning sign, a red flag there about the direction in which they're going. Denver still has the good defense. I think Case Keenum's an upgrade. A lot of people abuse him. Boy, he did well at Minnesota last year. So, I mean, I think they haven't had a quarterback for 3 years. And so I think he'll be an improvement. The Chiefs, to me, are probably the second pick. And, you know, I've been denigrating all the Charger love, and I think really they are the favorite in the division by default because of the perceived weaknesses and maybe real weaknesses in some cases of the other teams. But the Chiefs have got those questions on defense. I hate to say, but I'm going to go 8-8 this year. I think they take a little step back, and they got a lot younger on the roster, particularly on defense. I think those are good players, and the future looks bright, but this year with that schedule and the questions, I'm going to go 8-8.
Well, 8-8, and if one game swings to their favor, they could easily be right there, 9-7. And you and I know that 6-10, 10-6, there's not a gigantic difference. A couple close games can change what your record is at the end of the year and maybe the difference between you sitting at home or in the playoffs. All right, time for the off-the-wall question, Art. Are you familiar with the game Fortnite?
I have heard about it. I do not know the mechanisms of it, but I know it's a sensation, and particularly in a lot of Major League Baseball clubhouses.
National Hockey League's so worried about it, they think it's a hazard, and then when they interview potential draft picks, they actually ask about Fortnite. That was a story I think USA Today did. David Price is reportedly, he had some issues with his hand, and they attribute that to playing too much Fortnite whether it's at home or locker room or whatever the case may be. And the reason I bring this up is former Royal Will Myers got in trouble as he was playing Fortnite against a teammate of his from the AAA affiliate of the Padres. And sometimes with this game Fortnite, they will stream it online. And Will Myers wasn't aware that his teammate was streaming it, so he voiced a little bit of frustration about his manager of the San Diego Padres, and then later apologized. And his teammate, in the middle of him kind of venting a little bit, said, "Hey, dude, I'm streaming this." And like, whoopsie doopsie. Yeah, and then, of course, he comes out with the apologetic statement, Will Myers, and says, I love my manager, Andy Green, and everything's great, so forth and so on. I was just frustrated. So that leads me to the off-the-wall question. Fortnite's a big sensation. What was or is your favorite video game? Or if you weren't big into video games, board games, what type of game has been your favorite over the years that you played to pass the time or that you got addicted to?
Oh, you know, back when I was a kid, board games and Clue was a big favorite of mine. When I was, you know, probably sixth grade, I played Stratego.
Oh, I love that game.
Yeah, so that was a lot of fun. Have never really, I was kind of right there where the video game era started. I mean, played Pac-Man
yes.
when it first came out back in the late 70s, early 80s, and my son, when he was growing up in the 90s, had Mario and Luigi and did a little bit of that with him, but have really not been a... Now, I'll say this, Stratomatic baseball and football,
mm-hmm.
I was addicted to that. It was a board game when I was growing up. I probably got my first baseball game when I was 9, and it's a dice game. It is very statistically accurate based on the players' performances from the previous year,
mm-hmm.
As far as, you know, home runs, strikeouts, errors, stolen bases, things like that. So I would greatly anticipate the arrival of my new Stratomatic cards each year and make the trades that have been made during the winter and then play all summer.
Stratego, a lot of people don't know that game. I've told people I play Stratego, and they have no clue what I'm talking about. That was a game I played against my sister, and I beat her every time. She hated playing that game, but then we would play Parcheesi, and she would win every single time. I was the most unluckiest player ever for the game Parcheesi. You ever play Parcheesi or Sorry or any of those?
Sorry a few times, not Parcheesi, no.
Not Parcheesi. Well, I recommend you stay away from it because it's rigged.
I will try to do that.
Yeah. Well, Art, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, and we look forward to the season opener. The Chiefs Radio Network, you can hear Art on the pre- and halftime and post-game show. He does a wonderful job. Pre-game will start at 2 o'clock coming up this Sunday. The Chiefs at the Chargers, kickoff slated for 3:05. Art, wonderful job as always, and we'll talk to you again later on this season.
Sounds good, Wade. Thanks.
Art Haynes of the Chiefs Radio Network, our guest today on The Sports Ticket.